We had finished 37 verses, so we're going to, with the blessings of Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, and the Vaishnavas, we would like to finish the other half of the Brahma Samhita. So today we'll begin with verse 38. We already had class on first 37 verses. So if you have the book, you can turn to verse 38. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadevri Dieshu Vilok Yanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So the theme of this verse is the eye of devotion. Bhakti Vilochan. Bhakti Lochan. Lochan means eye. Like we say Padma Lochan, lotus eyes. Or Trilochan. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Trilochan because he has one eye, two eye, and a third eye. The eye of enlightenment. So he's called Trilochan. Or Trinatra sometimes. Natra means eye and Lochan means eye. So this verse is the eye of devotion. What is the eye of devotion? Is the eye of devotion on either side of your nose? Is the eye of devotion in your mind? Is the eye of devotion in your heart? Do you see Krishna with these two eyes? Or do you see Krishna with your mind's eye? Sometimes we have that expression. You see with your mind's eye. Or do you see Krishna in the core of your heart? What is the answer? So the translation. I worship Govinda, the prime evil lord, who is Shyam Sundar Krishna himself. With inconceivable innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Purport. The Shyam Sundar form of Krishna is his inconceivable, simultaneous, personal and impersonal, self-contradictory form. True devotees see that form in their purified hearts under the influence of devotional trance. The form of Shyam is not the blue color visible in the mundane world, but is the transcendental variegated color affording eternal bliss and is not visible to the mortal eye. On a consideration of the trance of Vyasadeva, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam Shloka, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, it will be clear that the form of Sri Krishna is the full personality of Godhead and can only be visible in the heart of a true devotee, which is the only true seat in the state of trance under the influence of devotion. When Krishna manifested himself in Braj, both the devotees and non-devotees saw him with this very eye. But only the devotees cherished him, eternally present in Braj, as the priceless jewel of their heart. Nowadays, also, devotees see Krishna in Braj in their hearts, saturated with devotion, although they do not see him with their eyes. The eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed spiritual self of the jiva. The form of Krishna is visible to that eye in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. When the devotion of the neophyte reaches the stage of bhava bhakti, the pure eye of that devotee is tinged with the salve of love by the grace of Krishna, which enables him to see Krishna face to face. The phrase in their hearts means that Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. The sum and substance of this shloka, or the summary, is that the form of Krishna, Shyam Sundar, Natavara, Vrindavana Natavara, the best dancer, Muralidhar, the holder of the flute, and Tribhanga, triple bending, is not a mental concoction, but is transcendental and visible with the eye of the soul of the devotee under trance. So they use this word trance quite a bit. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Jiva Goswami's purport here, translated. So the devotional trance, it means, it's a bhakti, it's in Sanskrit it says bhakti samadhi, a trance of bhakti. In other words, being absorbed in Krishna. So the first question when one reads the purport, he sees that Shamsundar is inconceivably personal and impersonal self-contradictory form. So this is the first note I have from the classes we attended. They discussed this point also. What does this mean, impersonal self-contradictory form? It sounds contradictory. So what is explained is that Shamsundar, how can Krishna, who is personal, be impersonal? So it seems to be a contradiction. But what it's referring to is that the self-contradictory form is that Krishna, his Brahman effulgence or his Brahman aspect, that is his impersonal aspect. It's called Nirakar or Nirvishesh, Brahma, Nirakar and Nirguna. In other words, this form, or you can say the impersonal form, which is not a form, but the impersonal aspect of Krishna, which is also part of Shamsundar, he has no material form and no material qualities. But then there's another aspect, the personal form is not near, it is also nirgun, there's no qualities, no material qualities, and also nirakar, no material form, but he has spiritual qualities and spiritual form. So that's why Brahma is using this word Shamsundar to say that he's achintya. Achintya guna sarupam, Shamsundar. So it certainly is inconceivable, because we can only conceive things that we can perceive with our senses. See, feel, touch, world. We see the world, touch it, and feel it through the contact of our senses with the sense objects. But another type of perception is required to perceive the transcendental. So how does one attain that? So that's what bhakti samadhi means. That is the type of trance or samadhi where one can attain transcendental senses. Just like some people, if they have very little devotion or no devotion, they will go before the murti of the Lord, they will see the form of the Lord, and they will consider, hey, what is this? Everyone's bowing down, and they're making a lot of commotion over there, and offering some flowers, and ringing bells, and there's some kitchen, and they're cooking, and they're singing, and they're sewing, and so many things they're doing for this stone, for this marble stone, or this brass. This is crazy. These people are like expanded doll worship. These people have some type of childhood neurosis or something. They never grew up. Little boys and little girls, usually girls, but boys too, I guess, play with dolls. So these boys and girls, now they even have their own little boys and girls. They're married. But they're still playing with these big dolls. Instead of having Barbie doll and baby doll, now they have full-size dolls. It's definitely some kind of, psychosis or some mental derangement. Should be studied in a clinical, laboratory. So they, obviously, they haven't exactly come to the proper platform of vision, just as one who has eyes, but yet his eyes may be covered with a disease in the form of cataract or glaucoma, then he cannot perceive the reality. Everything seems cloudy to his vision. He could see for some time, but then due to the influence of time and circumstance, his eyes have been covered. His material eyes have been covered with a material disease, cataract or glaucoma. And then everything looks gray and out of focus, and it can even be to the extent of blindness. Although the eyes are there, the ability to see is covered by disease. So in the same way, the eye of the soul is also covered by disease, by the material conception, or you can say misconception, of our identity and our material vigunas, the three modes of nature. So we can't see. But, so on the platform of sadhana bhakti, That is the platform of seeing by hearing. Oftentimes, Prabhupada would answer this challenge, you know, can you show me God or can you see God? He would quote this verse, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Graham Indrahi. Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. He says that Swayam, that Krishna, he becomes self-manifest. You can spurti, you can have vision or see Krishna, not by the eyes. The indriya, the gramam indriya, the group of senses, the eyes, ears, nose, and hands are not sufficient. They're not powerful enough to see. Because the eye, they're all material and God is spiritual. God is transcendental. But by service, seva beginning with the tongue, jiva, means beginning with the tongue by chanting Krishna's name, transcendental name, Sham Sundar, Krishna Damodar. Then our senses become purified. So throughout the scriptures, you'll see there's this description of different categories of devotees who are seeing the Lord and trying to see the Lord and having darshan of the Lord for a moment or for a second. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you see the Gopakumar. Gopakumar is the Brahmin. He's a Brahmin, or excuse me, he's a coward boy from Vrindavan. But he's received his Gopal mantra. And he's chanting the Gopal mantra and he's searching everywhere for darshan of the beautiful Lord of Vrindavan. He wants to see Shyam Sundar, Krishna. So he goes here and he goes there. And finally, in his sojourn throughout the universe to look for Krishna and to see the Gopal of his mantra, see the Ishtadeva of his mantra, he goes all the way to Tapaloka. Above Swargaloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, then Tapaloka, then Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, then there's causal, Karna Samudra, then Vaikuntha and Brahman and all these things. Brahman and Vaikuntha. So he got to Tapaloka. And then he met Pipalata and all these different sages there. And they were meditating. And that discussion we're going to read. The difference between seeing Krishna in the heart and seeing Krishna with the eyes. And then the question can be raised, is it possible to see Krishna with these eyes? So this is some of what we want to discuss. So the verse itself is explaining about Brahma's situation, that he's describing how the pure devotees see the Lord himself. Now how did Brahma see the Lord? He's describing about the pure devotees, but he himself has not come to the topmost platform. Does anyone remember from our previous study of Brahma Samhita, how Brahma saw the Lord? Yeah, he received mantra, but how did he see him like this? Is this how he saw him? He's describing here in this verse, Prem Anjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Prem Anjana, when the eye has this Anjana, this cudgel, this like cosmetic, you know, like black, has this ointment of love, Prema, Krishna Prema, Bhakti Vilochan, with that kind of eye, the bhakti vilochan, the eye of the devotee. What kind of devotee? A sadhana bhakti devotee or a bhava bhakti devotee? Bhava bhakti, yes, but prema bhakti for sure. Then, santak sadeva ridyesha vilokiyanti. Santak sadeva, always. Sadeva means like Satchitananda. Sat means eternally. Always he can see ridaya viloka. In his heart he can see the Lord. And what type of Lord does he see? Does he see Nirvashesh, Brahma, or just the Brahma Jyoti? No, he sees Shama Sundar. Shama Sundaram Sarupam. The Swarup, the personal form Shama Sundar, the Purna Bhagavan, the complete form of the Lord. Well, if we look earlier, we can understand. Well, let's try another way to do it. When because now we're in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, describing the birth of Krishna, and we've kind of, I don't know, have we just finished that already? Birth of Krishna? Chapter 5 you're on? Putana is there? Putana has come? Yeah. So, there was trouble in the material universe. Bhumi took the form of a cow, then she went to Brahma. Then Brahma and Bhumi, what did they do? Bhumi was complaining about all the demons overburdening the earth. Demons like Kamsa and Shishupal and all these Jarasandha. and they were creating so much havoc for the earth. So then she appealed to Brahma, because he's the creator of the universe, and said, look, you have to do something. Then what did he do? He went to Vishnu. Which Vishnu? Yeah, Shirdakshay Vishnu, right? On the Kheer Sagar. So what did he do? Did he go and shake hands with them, like Narada Muni? Like Narada Muni goes to Dwarka and Krishna bathes his feet and takes the bath water and puts it on Rukmini's head and on his head? Just see the difference in devotion. The accessibility between Brahma and Narada. What did Narada do when he went to Vishnu Loka, Shirdakshay Loka? So he didn't see him. He came to the shore of the ocean of milk. And the adhikar that Brahma had, at least he had a fax machine. He had a fax. Indra didn't have a fax machine. Suryadeva, Chandra, nobody else had a fax except Brahma. So nobody could send a fax to Vishnu except Brahma. He could send a fax and get a reply in his fax machine, right? Incoming and outgoing. So that's why, you know, all the demigods, they said, we can't do anything. We have no approach. We don't have the adhikar, the qualification to approach Shirdakshay Vishnu. Brahma, you do. You're born from his navel. Right? Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The same, it's all one tattva, as we learned. So in this, Garbhadakshay enters into each universe, the same Vishnu that he appeared from. Garbhadakshay enters as Shirdakshay Vishnu. There's a Shirdakshay Vishnu or Vishnu Loka planet in every universe. So Brahma's there, so he's communicating. So he just goes into a trance of meditation, of bhakti samadhi. Right? But he doesn't see the Lord. He doesn't see the Lord in his heart. He doesn't see the Lord with his eyes. He doesn't see the Lord in his mind. He just gets a message. Don't worry. It's cool. Relax. I'm coming soon. Go back, tell everybody the good news. Hey, everybody, look, I got the facts. It's cool. It's all right. Relax. Vishnu's coming. You know, some kind of avatar, he'll rectify everything. Yada, yada, yadarmas, yeah. Oh, right. Remember that. Right, okay. So everybody relaxes. Then he comes. So the same situation is here in this Brahma Samhita. And back in the early, last year, in verse 30, right when he starts, after he chanted Gopal Mantra for 1,000 celestial years, then he finally had some kind of, he entered into a trance. He was meditating. It's called Bhakti Samadhi, which is translated, Bhakti Samadhi means a trance of devotion. In other words, deep absorption in the mantra, the Gopal mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya. And then, in that situation, and what happened, then he had this darshan of Golok. And then he recited all these verses, Chintamani Prakata Sadmashut. So it's explained. This is a purport of text 30. The form of Krishna is not a fanciful creation of imagination formed after visualizing the beautiful things of this world. What Brahma saw in his ecstatic trance of pure devotion is being described. Krishna is engaged in playing upon his flute. And so that's all those verses. So this is his trance of devotion. And he's seeing this with his bhakti vilochan. But he saw it, and then he described it, and that was that. But in this particular verse, he's saying that the pure devotees, they can see, they can have this darshan at every moment, moment after moment. So, we'll stick with that because there's a couple other points I want to go over, but I want to pursue this matter more of seeing Krishna and having darshan of Krishna. Because in the purport, it mentions this verse. It says, because you'll see there's different bhakti samadhis by different devotees in the Bhagavatam, what we call trance of devotion or bhakti samadhi, but what the results that they have and the experiences they have are different according to the level of their bhakti. If they're in a level of Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti or like that. So, Jiva quotes this verse in the purport, text 38. He says, Bhakti Yogena Manasi. So this is referring to a verse of, this is Vyasadeva, Srila Vyasadeva's trance of meditation. So, you can read that. This is Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verse 3. Tasmin so ashrame vyaso bhadari shandamandate asinopa upaspishya prani nidhadyo manaswayam. It doesn't say, but it appears that this is Bhadari ashram. It's one of the char dhams, the four mukti stans of India. Bhadarika ashram in the north, and then Rameshwaram in the south, and in the west is Dwarka, and the east is Jagannath Puri. These are char dhams. If you have darshan of all these four places and Thakur's in this life, the Puranas say that one will get liberation.
This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verse 4. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam cha tad apashrayam. Vyasadeva fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. So this verse is cited by Jiva Goswami in this purport to show how Vyasadeva, in references Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, so this is his, he was cultivating, performing devotional service, and he was without any tinge of materialism. So what does this mean? This means in Narada Nivritti, at least that much, and because then we'll hear about Narada Muni, and it's described. Here it says, Amale, Pranihite Amale, without, Amala means dirt or like contamination. So when you hear the description of Narada Muni, you'll hear the words bhava. Because this is generally at the platform of bhava when one gets the full darshan of the Lord, beginning and then, or even full, having once in Narada's case, which creates an intensity of eagerness, which brings one to the point of, as it mentions here, sadaivridiyeshu vilokayanti, of always seeing the Lord. So this is Vyasadeva's case, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, he mostly goes into some different points about the impersonalists. Because in the purport of this Brahma Samhita, you see that it says, because in here, this verse is talking about the trance of Brahma and what he's seeing, and then he's describing the Premanjanas, what the Prema Bhaktas, whose eyes are coated with Krishna Prema, how they can see Shamsundar at every moment. But this trance of Brahmas, it was a momentary trance that he had, and he recorded it in this Brahma Samhita. So the purport says, on a consideration of the trance of Vyasadeva as in the shloka Bhakti Yogena Manasi, it will be clear that the form of Sri Krishna is the full personality of Godhead and can only be visible in the heart of a true devotee. True devotee also means, in other editions it says pure devotee, which is the only true seat in the state of trance under the influence of devotion. Just like you see Ravana and Kamsa, they saw, so many people saw Krishna eye to eye when he was having Prakat Leela, manifest pastimes, but they didn't have devotion. They thought that he's just a prince or a king, but he's not the Supreme Lord. Now, Shishupal, on the other hand, is an interesting character because he also saw the Lord. He saw Krishna. He thought he was the Lord, and he was always chanting his name. But he was chanting his name out of envy and offending him. But he saw the Lord, and although he's considered one level, of course, to be a demon, but he's also Jayambijay, no? Shishupal and Dantavakra. So he's the third birth for Jai and Vijay. So he's ultimately a devotee taking that role. But he's cited as someone who has seen the Lord, but not with devotion. So that's also not really seeing the Lord, although he was favored by the Lord to be killed by him. So now when we hear about Narada Muni's darshan, it's a little bit different. You can see the description. This is in first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 6, verse 16, first chapter, verse 16, but a few verses go together. Tasmin nirmanu jayuranye pipala pasta ashrita atma anatmanam atmastam yata ashrutam achintayam. It's interesting, the different trees that the different devotees favor. In North India, at Badrik Ashram, on the banks of the Alakananda Ganga, high in the Himalayas, Vyasadeva sat under the Badri tree. The Badri tree. Badrik Ashram. The berry tree. But now we hear that Narada Muni, he didn't sit under a Badri tree, he sat under a peepal tree. Peepala pasta. And this is in the Banyan family. This peepal tree, this is in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ashwatam Vriksha Aham. He says that among trees, he said, I'm the Ashwat. The Ashwat tree is the same as the peepal tree. And in the Hari Bhakti Surodaya, there's a whole chapter that describes the worship of the Ashwat tree. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describes that there are certain sacred trees that should be worshipped, like Tulsi and Myrobalan, Umbilicus Myrobalan, and Tulsi and Ashwat. So the Umbilicus Myrobalan is also known more commonly as Amalaki. It's the species and genus. It's mentioned in Nectar Devotion also, but it's the Amalaki or the Amla tree. And the other one is Ashwat Vriksh, and then Tulsi, which we're quite familiar with. But the glories of Ashwat are practically the same, although not the same, but practically the same as Tulsi. And that's why you see everywhere in the Prikamarg and everywhere in India, practically wherever you see a temple, that Shiva temple or Krishna temple, although Krishna temples have lots of Tulsis around, usually they're under the shade of a peepal tree or an Ashwat tree. By circumambulating the peepal tree seven times, one will get free from poverty. By worshipping the peepal tree on Saturday, one will become very famous and wealthy. By sleeping under the peepal tree, one will get free from bhutas and pretas and influence of ghosts and other things like that. And by planting the peepal tree, many, many things are there. So Narada Muni, he is under a peepal tree. Now, in Chaitanya Leela, you see another tree takes prominence there, that the Bokul tree is also very special. Right? Bokul tree. The Sundarananda, was it Sundarananda? In Modadrum Dweep, I think in Mamagachi, it was Sundarananda, I believe. He was there worshipping Madan Gopal, and there's a beautiful Bokul tree there, and it was dying, and Lord Chaitanya was going to school there to Gangadas's toll, passing by every day, and he saw a Sundarananda crying, and he said, why are you crying? He said, well, this peepal tree is getting old now, leaving its body. It was providing nice shade for Madan Gopal and beautiful, fragrant Bakul flowers, and I'm crying because it was such a nice servant of the Lord, and now it's going away, leaving. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, don't worry. Then he embraced the tree, and immediately flowers started falling. Because the Bokul tree is a type of tree that drops its flowers according to its feelings. When it feels good, it drops its flowers. Some trees, they don't drop their flowers like that. They don't drop until they dry up and fall off. or someone plucks them. But the malati and other special, very special trees, they automatically drop their flowers in the night or whenever they want to. Bakul tree is really quite an incredible tree. If you ever lived near one, we had opportunity where we're living now, there's a Bakul tree. And you really can, they really feel they're very special devotees. Because you go out sometimes, and if you go out too late, then the other devotees have already come and, you know, shaken all the flowers off or picked all the flowers off the ground, because there's two flowers that if they fall on the ground, you can still pick them up and offer them to Thakur. Bakul is definitely one of them, and I believe the second one is Champak. But any other flower, rose flower, if it drops on the ground, you offer it to Bhumi. Excuse me, Harsinga? Yeah. I'm not sure, maybe that's the one. It's Champak or Parijata, one of the two. That if they fall on the ground, or even if they're dried up, Bakul flowers, even if they're dried up, explain Hari Bhakti Vilas, you can still offer them because they're still fragrant. So I remember going out to the tree, and there's hardly any flowers. And I just held like a tali I had for puja. I said, hey, come on, you know, I have to do some seva. Hari Bo. Give some flowers. And all of a sudden, it's raining. Krishna book, the demigods are raining flowers. Well, maybe they have a bunch of trees in their flower airplanes. I just shake them on top of Krishna or something. But like that, and I got some. I move over to the other side. I need some more. And then some more came. I said, okay, thank you. So, and then of course, Haridas Thakur, he was in the garden of Kashi Mishra, the garden. The bagicha that was allotted to him that belonged to Kashi Mishra. Mahaprabhu took him there because he was staying in the house of Kashi Mishra in a small room, Gambira. So he asked for my shishya, or my associate. So he said, yes, you go to my garden nearby the temple. That's a quiet area, you can go there. So he took him there. And then he went there one day and there was no proper shade for him. So he took one of Jagannath's toothpicks, which Lord Chaitanya had. And he was relishing the Brijendra Nandan's Adara Amrita that was residing on that toothpick. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Radha Bhav. And when he takes darshan of Krishna, you can imagine if you can get some Adara Amrita from Brijendra Nandan and Jagannath Krishna, he'll be very happy. So he was relishing that on his way down to see Haridas Thakur. And then he saw Haridas Thakur's predicament that he has no proper shade over here. So he put the toothpick in the ground, and it happened to be a Bakul wood. And then immediately a beautiful tree came up, and it's known as Siddha Bakul. So he did his bhajan under there, and he attained of course he was already Siddha. But before he came there, he was in Benapole, I believe it was Benapole, and one lady came there with ulterior motives, being prompted by an even worse person with more ulterior motives, envious person who wanted to destroy Haridas. So he sent this harlot there. And then Haridas Thakur said, you just stay here by this tree. You sit by this tree. And you water this tree, and you look at this tree, and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, right? And then what tree was that? That was Tulsi. So by doing that and all perfection, by chanting the holy name and having Tulsi's ashirvad or blessings, then she attained all perfection. So in this particular case, Narada is sitting under a banyan tree, a peepal tree, ashwat tree, in an uninhabited forest, and meditating on the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. So, Narada Muni is performing a sadhana here. This is called Vishnu Dhyanam. He's meditating. He's not just waiting for it to happen. Sometimes devotees say, well, I hear and I chant and that's it. And everything else will happen automatically. Well, in one sense, it's fact. Everything will happen automatically. If we hear purely and chant purely, then no doubt, everything will happen very quickly and automatically. But there's Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnam Smaranam. So Vishnu Smaranam means Vishnu Dhyanam. Means to meditate on Krishna. Hear and chant and meditate. And that's a sadhana. It's an active practice. So Narada Muni, his life and teachings are certainly beneficial and exemplary for all of us to understand and to try to follow. So he meditated using his intelligence, as I had learned from liberated souls. Yata shrutam achintayam. He thought over achintayam. He thought over. In other words, it was a practice. Prabhupada explains, one should not meditate according to one's personal whims. One should know perfectly well from authoritative sources of scriptures through the transparent medium of a bona fide spiritual master, and by proper use of one's trained intelligence for meditating upon the super soul dwelling within every living being. This is very much reminiscent or synonymous with the teachings of Uddhava Gita in 11th canto. This consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Sri Narada Ji contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightenment rightly. So there was contact, sincere service, and right enlightenment. He got enlightenment rightly. He got the right enlightenment. So association is there, but also service. Thus he began to meditate. Now this is a particular verse which is significant. I mean, applicable to the discussion. Dhyayatash charanam bhojam bhava nirjita chetasa utkantyashru kalakshasya vridyasin meshaner hari. Very important words in this shloka. Dhyayatash charanam bhojam. A translation. As I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of God, Charana Amboja, Dhyanam, with my mind transformed in transcendental love. In other words, he is meditating from a platform of bhava bhakti. Right? Sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana, rag sadhana, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, so bhava. It's some special description of his type of meditation. Bhava nirjita chetasa. Bhava nirjita, transformed in transcendental love for the Lord. Chetasa. Chetasa, all mental activities, thinking, feeling, and willing. He was meditating on the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. With my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes. So this is when he says my mind transformed in transcendental love, it's bhava nirjita chetasa utkant yashru. So it's utkanta. Utkanta means, literally means extended neck, stretched neck, utkanta. Like we say Tulsi Kanti, right? Kanti Mala. The necklace around your, you know, the beads around your neck. So utkanta means utkanta. So this is one of the symptoms of bhava, great eagerness. Great eagerness to see the Lord, great eagerness to serve the Lord. You don't want to see that even a moment goes by without favorably hearing and chanting about the Lord. There's different symptoms. 9 different symptoms of bhava bhakti and bhakti rasamrita sindhu. One of them is utkanta. That same word is there. So, along with being on a platform of bhava or emotional attachment to the Lord, is one experiences transformations of the body due to the movements of that ecstasy within the heart and mind. It produces changes in the body, such as ashru. Romancha Kampa Ashu, Taranga Bhajo. They come in waves, Taranga, Prema Taranga, Prema Tarangani. They come in waves through the senses. The senses become inundated by different waves of ecstasy, and they produce changes.
When the tactile sense or the sense of touch becomes inundated by this great eagerness to touch the Lord, and remembering the touch of the Lord, and then that stimulates the bhava within the heart, if bhava is there to be stimulated, and then if it has been awakened, and then that tactile sense, in other words, the sense of touch, will respond in such a way that the hair will stand on end, because it means that the hair follicle, the roots of the hair, the skin contracts, it tightens, all the muscles tighten, and then it causes the hair to stand on end. So this is Narada is meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord in Bhava Bhakti. It's a Bhava Bhakti Dhyanam. And then what happens is he starts crying and crying, because his bhava is agitating his mind and creating these overwhelming feelings that have to come out. It's like a volcano. A volcano is full of this hot stuff. I don't know what all they call it, lava or something, I don't know. But whatever it is, it's some kind of hot stuff. And then coal or, you know, something, I don't know what it all is, lava. Anyway, that comes flying out. It's sometimes you're just rumbling and grumbling, and sometimes it flies out. Well, sometimes in Bhava Bhakti, there's also rumbling and grumbling. The voice is choked up and there's trembling. When bhava starts to erupt within the heart and starts to expand within the heart, and sometimes one tries to speak or to sing the glories of his Lord, and he sees his Lord before him, and he's overwhelmed with bhava, and then he starts saying jaga gaga jaga gaga jaga gaga gaga gaga, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Rath Yatra. He said jaga gaga jaga. He couldn't speak because his throat was choked. Just like if somebody chokes, try to say Hare Krishna, what does it come out like? Right? Sometimes devotees, they describe how they get visited by some old relatives at night, or some other relatives, and they have the experience of some type of choking of the throat. But that's called choking of the throat in sadhana bhakti. That's full of anarthas, because we haven't shed in Namabhas yet. Because in Namabhas there's no bhutas and pretas and all these things. Oh, Gaur Haribo. So, Akant Yashru Kalakshasya Vidyasin Meshanehari. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears, Akant Ashru Kalakshasya, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. So, we'll continue there tomorrow.